All right, on this episode of Bouts Talk and Bouts, very excited to be chatting with an individual who competes at BKB 34, and that goes down on September the 16th. And we've got that British Bantamweight Championship on the line for BKB as Mark Tiffin steps into the ring against Aaron McCallum. And great having Aaron back on the show. How's your day going, man?
Yeah, going perfect, mate. Rest day today. So, I'm just a bit chilled out, a bit bored.
You know, probably a lot of solid rounds put in throughout the week with guys like Liam Hayward and stuff like that, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got in plenty of sparring in, especially with that lad Liam. He's a fast technical boxer, so I enjoy doing it with him.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a great camp all around. Like, it looked like Martin Rafael was working with you also, who, you know, he's readying to compete also. So I would think that would pay dividends too, just like that classic dynamic of working alongside each other. You have your individual tasks to kind of prepare for, like that iron sharpens iron adage, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, to be fair, I dare say it's one of my best camps I've had so far. Me and Martin have always got on since day one, to be fair. And I love sparring with him. He's just so forward, and you don't get a second to breathe with him, so you know when you're fit when you're in the ring with him, if you know what I mean. He keeps you on your toes, definitely.
Yeah, and you love to see that with like the direct like training partners and sparring partners more specifically and whatnot, but also like on a coaching level. Like, it seems like you're under some great learning trees and stuff like that. Like, I was seeing you were getting in work with Jason Booth and stuff like that, and I mean, just so many accolades on the world, British, and, you know, Commonwealth title level. So it seems like you're really getting some great looks and insights in, I guess, really every facet of the camp.
Oh yeah, I feel overwhelmed with the help I'm getting, not just obviously from Jason Booth. I mean, both my coaches, I've now got Anthony Harris for a full-time coach for this camp, which He also trained Jason Booth and my actual coach, Curtis Valentine. So, yeah, him and Jason Booth, I feel a privilege to be being coached by him as such, and just learning new stuff and being shown new stuff every day and stuff like that. It's brilliant, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. It just shows what a great team you have around you. So many great names that definitely deserving of those shout-outs. And as much as there's a lot to talk about with this fight, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on the last one, just to get the sense of, I guess, the timeline heading into this one, just fighting Scott McHugh in May there at BKB 32 and going the distance against him in that British title fight. Like, what were the main takeaways from that fight there for you?
Well, at first, I was a bit weird of it because I was gutted about the loss and that, and I never really looked into it. Like, I've gone the old five rounds with him or anything like that. It literally ate me inside for a couple of days. It wasn't until I actually sat back and thought, you know what, you've been five rounds with one of the best in there. And it was a very close fight. He did what he needed to do, and that was defend his title. I put the pressure on him, everything. So, yeah, once I'd sat back and reflected on it properly, there was a lot I could take from it. I mean, obviously at first I was just proper gutted with myself, couldn't believe it. I sort of just felt like I'd not done enough, but then obviously when I watched it back, I did do enough, but the only thing I didn't do was knock him down. I think if it was for one knockdown, if I'd have got it, then the belt should have been coming my way. So yeah, I just took that away from it, that I'd won five rounds with him. I put it on him. I made sure he was on the back foot, or he made sure he was on the back foot as well, defending it. I took a lot from it, and the most thing I took from it is I don't want to be coming back saying I've lost it again. That's one of the main things that I'm going to take away from it. I know that.
Yeah, and I definitely want to touch on that part of just everything heading into this fight, but just also interesting, like, McHugh seemed very complimentary of you and seemed to also indicate what you were saying there as far as the competitiveness. Like, I saw that post-fight interview you guys had where he was like talking about how you were the most powerful guy he's ever fought and stuff like that. So it seems like there's very much like a respect dynamic, and kind of interesting too, like McHugh was kind of shouting out you as someone who could step up in this fight and, you know, vie for that vacant British title as McHugh tries for a world title down the line. But he also shouted out Tiffin as, like, a great deserving opponent in, like, a vacant title fight. So it's almost like he's, like, a little clairvoyant, like he saw something we did, and he kind of called that one out a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. He's obviously seen something. Mark's his mate around his area, so... and obviously he's been in the ring with me, so he sort of knows what both fighters are on. I think everybody that's seen the fight matchup also knows what's coming here. We're both pretty forward fighters. It's both tough fighters, so yeah, it's going to be an exciting fight to what's coming up. I know that.
And just so interesting how things can kind of turn around in like a relatively short period of time. Because when I was talking to you before the McHugh fight, I was trying to get insights on like when the bout came together and stuff like that, and you were kind of being like a bit tongue-in-cheek about it. Like you said, you messaged Jim Freeman and were like, oh, what are the chances of this underdog getting a title shot? But it seems like that last fight, like even though in the binary of a win and loss, like you didn't get the desired outcome, like it seems like very much that, I guess, underdog perception isn't quite there as much anymore. Do you almost feel that heading into this fight? Like, what is your, I guess, mindset heading into this one relative to what it was before the McHugh bid for the British title the first time?
Yeah, I do say I do, to be fair. Obviously, Mark's got, I think he's on 3-0 for BKB. But his 3-0 wins aren't actual, I mean, without sounding disrespectfully, he's not gone to war in them fights. He hasn't fought anyone really as tough as who I fought or that. So I wouldn't say I am the underdog. I say again, it's most probably an even match fight. I don't know what to say about it. I don't know if I'm the underdog or not. I mean, my mentality, I'll always go in as the underdog just for the fact that I've not really been boxing all these years. So in my own head, I normally use the mentality of being the underdog. I think that's how I sort of play things. And it makes me that better fighter, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Definitely get what you're talking about there. But it sounds like as you were kind of, I guess, getting into like the breakdown of this fight a little bit, like it seems like you're like aware of what he's done so far, just having fought for BKB and also BYB and 100% finishing rate so far. But it seems like just, I guess, the quality of resume and really just the overall experience you have, because you've got like, you know, more than double the fights he has in bare knuckle now. Like, do you think, I guess, maybe like strength of resume at this point and the specific experience in bare knuckle will be like the big variables in your favor here?
I would say it was, would be with the rounds and stuff like that, but I'm not taking anything away from him. He's still a tough guy. The reason that his fights have not gone the distance or anything like that, and it's not because the guys he's fought aren't good fighters or aren't tough. It's sort of just you fight who's in front of you at the end of the day, and he's put all three of them quite quick. The only thing I know that I'm going to do is I won't be being put away fast. I mean, you're going to have to really put it on me to stop me fast in a quick succession, do you know what I mean? I know I'm as tough as they come, and I should imagine he knows that. But again, yeah, I don't know, not going to take anything away from him at all. He's still a tough guy. He's doing bare knuckle. We all are. You can't really shy away from him. It just because they've had a few fights and it's been quick. Do you know what I mean? You still got to know the tough lads. So, yeah, I still know he's coming for it.
Yeah, for sure. And you did give like a good breakdown of like Scott McHugh's better stylistic attributes when I was talking to you before that particular fight. And we're talking more about like, I guess, the resume and some of the outcomes. But I guess in terms of like X's and O's of like technique-based things you've seen him do in the ring, like what would you say some of his better attributes are?
Just the way he comes overpowering. I think his best way of fighting is how I was at the start. You just overpower your fighter. Not many people deal with that, you see, but because I'm a short guy and I've always, every fight I've had ever, I've always had it sort of put on me, no matter what fight it has been. So I'm sort of used to that pressure of a fight, and When I fought Luke Nevin, he put that pressure on me, and I didn't expect it. But the thing I took away from that fight was to always expect that fighter to put it on you. So that'll never happen to me again. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'd say his best attribute is definitely his power, what he comes forward with. But I'm ready for that. I mean, I'll go toe to toe with him if he wants to go face to face, and I'll also box him. The stuff I've learned in this short succession about with boxing and stuff like that, I'm actually outboxing a few decent boxers. I mean, when you look at me and Mathieu, I did some decent boxing against him, and then John Collier as well, who's known for being a very good boxer. I outboxed him in the ring as well, so it's all coming together. So I think Tiffin knows that he's got a decent boxer on his hands and someone that can also brawl as well. So he's got a lot to bring to the table. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would galvanize your confidence a lot, because as we're kind of talking a bit here, it's like you're not necessarily one of these guys that like was like steadily boxing through being like a youth and then kind of carrying on through life. Like you're applying like a very strong work ethic to kind of like making up for that fact almost. So that must be, maybe validating is the wrong word, but there must be a certain sense of esteem almost to see yourself in these situations outboxing guys who are much more seasoned, like in terms of just the years they've put into it. I would think that would be very, yeah, I don't want to say validating per se, maybe that's not the right word, but there's probably some, you know, positive uplifting feeling attached to, you know, that playing out as it does.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fast learner in whatever I do. The way I'm learning, though, you'd think I was dead young. I do feel young, don't get me wrong, at the minute. Yeah, but yeah, the way I am learning, I mean, you get 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds that can't even learn this fast, really. But I've literally put everything into it, mate, and I'm putting it into it because I want to be one of the best in it. Do you know what I mean? I put my whole life around it. And that's a shout out to anyone. If you're that dedicated to something, you can actually learn very fast. I mean, it's took me 18 months to get where I am now. And if you look at the difference from my first fight to now, I look like a completely different fighter all in all. So, yeah, it's mad how fast I've learned.
Yeah, and it seems like the individual motivation is obviously very strong, but it seems like there would be a sense of pride to come out of becoming the first British champion out of Nottingham, so that's kind of a cool facet of this one too.
It is, mate. I can't wait for that to be announced as well, and then I'm hopefully push a few more forward from Nottingham to get into it and carry on when I'm done, sort of. And I've definitely got a few years left in me with BKB, I know that, but obviously when I'm gone, hopefully there's a few more from Nottingham that get into it and take my place as such.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the plan to, you know, go to the schools and see the kids with Curtis and let them see the belt kind of thing if you get your ideal outcome here?
No, 100%, mate. Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to get it out there and just show everybody. I don't think I'll let it leave my side.
But just your wording is kind of interesting. Like, just in talking about the, I guess, desired longevity, like you see a path with BKB going forward for a bit, and I guess in asking that, like, obviously not overlooking this immediate opponent, but do you have certain, I guess, specific goals mapped out within that timeline? Like, do you have like an idea of the BKB journey going forward as far as, oh, I'd like to fight this guy or defend the title X amount of times? Like, do you have, I guess, express goals within this like longer timeline you see yourself still, I guess, plying your trade for BKB?
Yeah, obviously get this British title out of the way, and I'm a fighter, and in BKB I want to be fighting the best in my weight classes. Whether I'm good enough or not, I feel like I'll be good enough. Do you know what I mean? So obviously whoever Jim and Joe put in front of me is who I'll fight. But yeah, the legacy is to fight the best and beat the best, really. But let's get this British title won and out of the way, and we'll take it from there. Obviously, also fighting in America, Thailand, and the other places that just took up with Kazakhstan and Dubai. If I can get on one of them shows, that's a goal in itself. So, yeah, whatever they chuck at me, I'm ready for it. Just leave a legacy, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, all great ideas. And I also saw you were at that BYB versus BKB crossover event. So who knows, maybe we get one of these BYB guys fighting you at some point too.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That would definitely be great. Hopefully they do it again and I get on the next show for that and represent Great Britain for that, because that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would be for sure. And yeah, I just love the crossover dynamics. I feel like it benefits all parties in a pretty obvious way for sure. But this isn't really so much a question even, but just something I noticed even a bit after our first interview. Like, I didn't really see this information out there during like my initial, I guess, round of doing research on you, but a couple accounts of you in a situation when you were a younger lad where you ended up coming back from the dead and you got a bit of a peek at the afterlife, from what I understand. Some electric wires were involved. I need to get some insights from you, because it seems like a pretty wild account of what happened. Just a wild thing to be in as a younger lad.
Yeah, I did, mate. When I was 6 years old, I've had that many interviews. I don't know who I've told what, to be fair. I don't know if they all know or not, but obviously they don't. When I was 6 years old, I was just playing football with my older brother, a few of his mates and stuff like that. And these abandoned buildings, I've tried to kick the football into there, so I've just gone chasing it. Slipped on this board, or white board, and the closest thing to me were these wires. I've grabbed these wires, and they've just shoved electric bolts straight through my body, killing me and stuff like that. My dad held me in his arms. I can just remember, it's like an out-of-body experience. I just watched myself float up into a bright sky and then into this castle, and it was actually a guy reading a book there, and he just told me that I wasn't ready to die yet, and I just shot straight back into my body. The story's quite big. I've got a lot to it. I've told you that many times, and it keeps coming out on these interviews. But yeah, I still dare say it was my brother's scream that saved my life. He was screaming, shouting my name, and I think that's what brought me back into my body. But it definitely killed me. I can remember everything like it was yesterday as well. Very strange.
Yeah, and just, I feel like if something like that happened to someone as an adult, it would be like a classic thing of like, oh wow, like I had like this brush with death, like it causes me to value my life that much more, look at things in a certain, maybe more nuanced kind of way. Like, do you, I guess, have that ability to, I guess, have those takeaways as a younger kid? Because I can't even imagine what, like, an experience would, you know, do to one at that kind of moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so, because obviously when it happened when I was a kid, obviously I've got all the growing up to do, but I've done a lot of stupid stuff after that, like in my teenage years, and then when I've left school, just took life for granted. So no, it didn't really do anything for me. It wasn't until I actually found BKB and found God that I'd actually realised what life was worth living for. I've got away with that much stuff prior to finding God and joining BKB. It's a surprising that I'm still here, so I never learned anything from it, if I'm telling the truth. But I dare say now, and all the interviews I have and the more I speak about it, yeah, I definitely appreciate life more and realise what I have got. Definitely, 100%, yeah.
Just a very powerful thing to kind of articulate, like, what bare knuckle represents to you. Like, it really seemed like something that totally redirected your life path and really, like, reignited your enthusiasm for everything. So, I mean, just really an incredible sort of thing. Definitely, like, a powerful way to describe it, man.
Yeah, it's made me definitely who I am now. It's brought the best out of me. I actually wouldn't know what I'd do without BKB. I mean, Jim and Joe, honestly, they've just been like a godsend to me. I mean, what more can I say about it? It's just great. It's great being with them. It's great being a part of all, with all the guys, fighting all the guys as well, because there's no animosity against any guys or anything like it. I say it again, it's a brotherhood, what they've built, you know what I mean? You're fighting each other, but you're still sort of on the friend terms after and before you fight. It's very strange to explain, but yeah, without BKB, definitely I wouldn't know what to do with my life. I'll, like, even when I'm done, I will definitely be staying in the picture with them and doing whatever I can. on the side of BKB, definitely.
Yeah, you're kind of just down for whatever. Like, do you have a certain... Sorry, what was that?
So that's it. They still have me then. I might be a bit old.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. I could see you doing, like, some analyst work or something like that. I mean, it seems like from what you're saying, you're kind of down to just be part of the BKB collective, like, whatever they'd be having you do. So, yeah, that's great to hear. I could see them still keeping you in the fold for a while. It seems like a great, you know, communal, you know, interaction with everybody in BKB, regardless if you're, like, a fighter or promoter or announcer, etc.
Yeah, it's just what they do for you, mate. Like, I don't know if you get it anywhere else, but... I mean, I fought glove boxing and stuff like that for the, like, years ago, done a few fights, but you never really felt part of something, do you know what I mean? Like, they proper keep you on tabs with everything, and they just message you, like, they're, like, on those random days and stuff like that. I think that helps. Yeah, it's a weird thing to explain, but they're like your mates as well, do you know what I mean? It's proper like family, they are. It's great.
Yeah, I love hearing that, man, and definitely comes across. So good to hear that my layman perspective is correct there. But yeah, it's great having you on, man. Always fun getting to talk to you ahead of these different fights and stuff like that. But just being mindful of your time, Aaron. Curious if there's maybe like a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up here, man.
Yeah, no, again, just thanks to everyone that's buying tickets. Also, who's put money forward for getting the T-shirts. What I've had made as well. All my fans out there. Obviously, you, Dylan, for taking your time out interviewing me. And let's go, 16th September. We're bringing that title back to Nottingham.
Yeah, it's a huge title fight.
Yeah, so thanks to all my sponsors as well. I've had a load more on board. I think I'm touching about 20 sponsors for this fight. So, yeah, thanks to all them as well.
Yo, that's really exciting to hear, man. Good to hear you have so many sponsors. And, I mean, BKB 34, a big card, so definitely makes sense why they're wanting to get on, no doubt. But, yeah, very excited for this Mark Tiffin fight coming up and everything. And, again, to reiterate, thanks so much for the time, man. And just, yeah, you have a good rest of your day, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, nice one, Dylan. Cheers for that, mate.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKB 34 on September the 16th. And we've got BKB... British Bantamweight Gold on the line with Aaron McCallum and Mark Tiffin stepping out there and throwing some fisticuffs, and very happy to be talking to Mark for the first time on the show. How's everything going there, man?
Oh, mate.
Yeah, good to hear from you. I saw the post you had the other day, too, talking about how tickets were available and for people to get at you, British champion pending. It seems like the excitement is mounting.
Yeah, I've told plenty of tickets already, to be honest. I'm on 100 mark so far, so good. I'm still 4.5 weeks out, so there's always some last minute people turning up.
Yeah, and this would seem like a big fight here, just being that, you know, the British gold is on the line and stuff like that. I'm curious, like, because some fighters can go one way or the other with this. Like, are you almost looking at this through like a dual focus? Like, it's an individual accomplishment, but a great way to, I guess, really represent Britain and, I guess, Nottingly specifically? Or are you just focusing it on as, like, purely an individual athletic accomplishment?
It's just a fight for me. I'd change the same for any fight. It doesn't matter if it were for a belt or just a normal standard fight. I'd still train exactly the same. Because when I'm in that ring, I don't want any excuses at all. So my training's always like 100%. I'll put 100% effort in every time, so then I've got no excuses, whatever the outcome is.
Yeah, I think that's a good mentality to have. It seems like, from a post I saw you had a few weeks ago too, like, you were talking about how just the feeling of fight night, it's like nothing really compares to it. So, like, maybe that's what draws you to it more than, like, a specific, yeah.
It's like the adrenaline and stuff, and but there's nothing what compares to it. I've done a lot of things in my life, and there's nothing what makes you feel like that. It's addictive. It's addictive sport. It's just, well, you can beat people up and get away with it.
Yeah, and getting back to the 0-2 here, I mean, not like a totally uncommon spot for you, obviously, being that you've had a couple bare knuckle fights there, but, you know, just returning there after getting to fight in Dubai and in the Mighty Trigon as well and everything. So, like, how does it feel to be back at the O2 and back in the, I guess, BKB fold and just their rule set and general methodology, I guess?
To be quite honest, I think the Trigon would suit me because I'm more of a forward fighter. And if they're really, really good boxers in a square ring and a decent sized ring, they're going to run away and get away. Obviously, I'm going to capture him at some point. But with the Trigon and with the rule set, if they're stepping backwards, I'm going to cut them off and they're going to be in a corner and they're going to be stuck and they're going to have to fight me. So then it comes down to who's toughest then, type thing. But yeah, this time I've been learning, well, obviously, I'm still learning on job. To be honest, I've got no amateur background, no boxing background, no MMA background. I've got no background at all with any combat sports. I've just turned up. I had a fight in some A-Bales. I just put my name down, drunk in a pub one day. All my mates wanted me to have a fight, so I put my name down whilst I was drunk. And then I've ended up turning up, and I had a fight. I won. I enjoyed it. And then a company called Bad to the Bone messaged me, asked to see if I wanted to go on there. And then I said, yeah, I started training. And then I thought, well, I had 8 weeks left in my training camp. I started because I used to do like 11, 12-week camps. So then I went out, well, it was 8 weeks out. And one of my mates said he fancied a game of rugby. And I usually played rugby anyway. So then I said, yeah, I'm 8 weeks out, I should be all right. And then I ended up doing all my ligaments in my knee. So then I had a big brace on and waiting for operation. I had a big brace on for it. Well, it meant to have been on for three or four months. But I took it off 2 weeks before my fight. So I had no training at all. It's heaviest I've ever fought, no sparring, no nothing. So then I went to Stoke and Trent after just trying to walk on my leg for 2 weeks because I couldn't walk on it. And then I thought I won that. And then BKB got in touch with me because I knocked the kid out. They got in touch with me and asked if I wanted to fight for them. So then I went into that as well, did that. Didn't do no sparring because I didn't like it. And then I fought Toby Binden. I sparred once before that. And then I went to Dubai. I sparred a bit before that. Then this camp I've done more sparring than I've ever done.
And like, what's informed the turnaround on the sparring there? Like what's the mentality, I guess, here?
Well, it's timing. Like you'll see on my first fight against Bo Besley, my timing were well out, and it started progressing through the fight. That's due to obviously not sparring and not knowing my distances and stuff like that. But with sparring, you find any timing and all that carry on, so it'll start straight from off this time.
Yeah, and it would seem like the Robinson twins have really helped in that kind of regard, and just Anthony Holmes kind of helming the training. Like, do you really credit those guys as, like, you know, key parts of, like, this learning curve too? Because, like you said, yeah.
Well, I started with Ryan and Jay Robinson. They've been there since day one. They've been there all the way through, to be honest. Anthony Holmes, he started on my Toby Binden. He trained me for that. With the twins, and this time I've had the twins, I've had Anthony Holmes and a lad called Neil Wayne, if you know him. He fought at high levels. He's a really good coach. He trains Anthony Holmes himself. He's got a really good IQ.
Has this been an exciting, I guess, learning curve for you? Because, like you were saying, because I saw an interview where you were referencing that, like, after your sophomore bare knuckle fight, you were like, oh, I've had, like, a few scraps in a pub, but, like, not, like, a normative background. Like, I guess in saying that, like, how exciting is this learning curve now where you're, like, readying to fight for a title and, yeah.
It's very exciting, to be quite honest, because I'm learning as the job as I go on. Each fight, I'm learning. I'm just getting better every single time. It's not like I've done like boxing and learned how to box and then came into bare knuckle boxing. I'm still learning to box at the same time as like fighting type thing, if you know what I mean. So I'm only you're only going to see me getting better and better and better. My movement's 10 times better. Like in all my fights, what you've seen, it's just been aggression. I haven't even thought about all because I have never settled in a fight so far. But I know I can box and in sparring, I'm sparring every week with some kids and against really good boxers, and I'm picking them off, to be quite honest. So this time, hopefully, if Adam McCallum don't fall on me, I'll settle and I'll become a better fighter, and people will see what I'm about.
And I guess just like looking at this opponent, just like the caliber and the experience, does this strike you as a fight that will give you that platform to showcase like more of like a comprehensive skill set?
Yeah, I'm going to have to knock him out to stop him. And that's what I like about it. This is what I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to have to knock him out. I know his game. So... yeah, I'm going to have to knock him out to stop him. And that's what excites me. Because he's got to do the same to me, because I'll never quit.
Yeah, I mean, he strikes me as like a fairly durable guy, so I feel like that would be quite the feather in the cap for you.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But we've both done the same. We've come from no, like, boxing backgrounds and all like that. He used to be a bodybuilder before he started this. So he'll be learning on job as well. So I'm looking forward to it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, just an interesting fight for sure, just being that he previously fought Scott McHugh for the gold. But I guess something I thought was kind of interesting, like they were doing their post-fight interview and everything like that, and he was suggesting Aaron McCallum had that skill set to be in like that next title fight as Scott McHugh was vacating that British title to try to buy for a world title. But he also shouted out you as well, McHugh did. He was like, oh yeah, we should get Mark Tiffin in there too for the vacant title fight.
I was there, I was just behind the camera at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm really good mates with Scott, and that's the reason why he vacated, because both of us were going to be in that tournament with me and Scott. But we just came to an agreement that he wanted to be in this tournament, and they were going to vacate belts so I could fight for it. It was because I was next in line, so, and he wanted to be in the tournament, but they were going to put both of us in the tournament. That's what happened.
And I'm trying to find a way to phrase this question. It's just curious because I'll talk to certain fighters who do have that normative martial arts background, and I guess winning a title to them represents almost like actualizing like a childhood dream into reality. Like, what would winning this belt represent to you? Like, would it represent demonstrable improvement, like a certain place in the bare knuckle hierarchy? Like, what would a title win represent here if you get your ideal outcome?
It means a lot to me, to be quite honest. It really, it's like an achievement, because I only started like a year ago, and from coming from no, well, I've got no background of fighting. From within a year becoming British champion, I think it's quite impressive, and not sparring for the first couple of fights either, so I think it's really good. I think, well, all the lads who are fighting for BKB, they've all got backgrounds, they've all done some kind of boxing or MMA or something like that, so yeah, it means a lot to me to prove that you can, it don't matter what age you start, there's always that possibility.
Yeah, for sure, and that would seem like a milestone, just like you said, vying for this belt and just really plying your trade rather in bare knuckle and doing so for the last like year or so, like year and a half, I guess, within that period of time as a bare knuckle boxer. Like, what would you say the, I guess, most obvious part of your, I guess, learning curve is? Like, what's a part of your game where you're like, oh, I've like improved by leaps and bounds here?
only thing I could for me to improve on is knowing when to use my aggression and when not to, and coming in calm from start, because I think so many bad things as soon as when I'm walking out, my edge is gone. I just want to hurt him so bad. That's why I owe Aaron McCallan, managed to handle what I'm going to give to him to bring the best out of me, because I'm not at my best when I'm like that. I'm getting caught, obviously I'm catching them as well. I'm wide open, I look messy, but if he weathers a storm and I start getting a bit of respect for him and me settle down, then it's going to be an harder fight for him and a lot better for me.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying in that regard. I guess I'm kind of curious, though, like, we've been talking about some of the work as far as, like, some of the coaches you have, but are you curating your sparring to where you're working with certain people who, I guess, have similar stylistic attributes or, I guess, a similar body type to Aaron McCallum leading into this?
Yeah. Well, I've got sparring partners. Even my coaches, I spar with Aaron. They, like, mimic where his mistakes are. So we're working off stuff like that. Ryan Robinson, and Jake, they're similar size to Adam McCallum. No disrespect to Adam McCallum, but they are better boxers than him. They've done it well for years and years and years. So if I'm keeping safe for them, then I'm happy where I am.
Yeah, for sure. And this question is like a bit of an aside from this fight, I guess, but just we sort of touched on the fact you fought for both BYB and BKB. Do you have a leaning towards one particular, I guess, style or approach? Like, I guess I'm asking the broader question of, could you see yourself fighting again in the Mighty Trigon and under that rule set there again?
I enjoyed it, to be quite honest. I'd definitely get back in Trigon, 100% I would. I think that suits me, to be honest. But I'm getting used to just normal ring as well. I'm starting to be able to box a bit. With a Trigon, it's more like a scrap. As long as you're tough and can throw a punch, I think you're pretty safe in the Trigon. Really good boxers, obviously, no one wants to get hit, but they like try and avoid it best in the crumble when they are getting a lot of pressure on them. But in the Trigon, a really good boxer is going to get stuck if that's the only tool they've got.
Yeah, I just love to see it. It's just, I think it's such a great thing for the fighters and just the sport of bare knuckle overall, just like the cross promotional dynamics, like the best of our league versus the best of your league. I feel like it just uplifts everyone.
Yeah, that's good. How they're doing cross promotions type things. Yeah, that's really good. It's like a bit of a tournament between us and yous. It's really good. I want to get this win over and done with. And definitely, I'd love to get back in that Trigon, either over in O2 Arena or over in States.
Yeah, so many opportunities. But speaking of cool promotions, I saw you had a poster up on the Instagram a couple weeks ago. You were saying, what a poster, father and son on the same card, just yourself and Fraser Tiffin.
It was a show that would just have to Dubai. I wasn't going to fight because I didn't do no training or anything. Obviously, I'd had a massive camp for that Dubai job. And then I wanted a little bit of a rest. But then my son got matched, and it was his first ever bout. And I just thought, well, I think it'd be nice for father and son to be on the same show. So I just took it. I didn't do no training. I just, I won't fit anyway from my last fight, from the Dubai. So we were only like maybe 3 weeks after. So I didn't really need much training anyway. And it was good, and we both came back with win.
Yeah, so cool. I feel like that's something you guys can talk about just for years and years to come from now. That's awesome to hear, man.
Yeah, it was unreal. Like, I've never, ever, like, you get like bits of nerves, like adrenaline type thing. But I were emotional. It was the worst time of my life. I was so excited for just to see my little boy in there, but I was so scared as well, thinking if whatever happens to him, I can't help him and stuff like that. And I teared up, to be honest. I was in his corner. And I teared up, thinking, but they don't even need me now. Like usually, your kids look up to you, and I would just stand in his corner, thinking he's doing this off his own back. He's not a caring world. It was absolutely unreal. I got to wake him up on it was fight day, and I had to wake him up out of bed. I said, "Fraser, are you fighting tonight?" He says, "Oh yeah, I know." I said, "So what are you doing in bed?"
Yeah.
He says, "Well, it's his first ever fight," and he says, "Oh, it's only a fight, isn't it?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Mate, you need to understand what you're doing." So then he's got on PlayStation, like nothing's happening. And I thought he's a bit too cool here. Anyway, when we got there, he's getting his hands wrapped and stuff like that. And I says, are you feeling all right? He said, "Yeah, I'm confident, I'm ready." And I thought, Jesus, he just wasn't bothered one bit. Even in workout, I just thought, Jesus, it's just wasn't bothered. And I thought, is he too confident, or does he realise what he's getting himself into? And he just took it like a duck to water.
Well, I mean, based on just even talking to you, it sounds like you're a hardworking guy, so you'd think maybe that's imparted to him, and he's getting his confidence from just really putting in that work to ready for a moment like that. So, I mean, maybe that's what's going on, but I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. To be honest, he got out of me, and he's like, really excited. One, I had a bit of a tear in my eye. I thought, Jesus Christ, I never thought I'd cry or something like that. But it was just, like, emotional, and I realised, oh, I'm on next, so I need to get myself sorted. Yeah, we're good. Enjoyed it. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to this next fight. Well, my kids and that are saying, "Oh, Daddy, we want this belt. So I'll be fighting for it through my kids as well. It's not just for me. It's coming home for them.
Yeah, I love to hear that, man, and super appreciate the insights into that, but. Just an exemplary record in bare knuckle, just the spotless record and finishes across all of these BKB fights and BYB and everything. Does that trend continue on the 16th? You were talking before about getting the knockout. Do you have a particular visualization of when it might come, though?
Never, ever. The way it'll end, no way. I don't class, if you go to the scorecards, I don't class that as a win, mate. I wish if my fights go to an exit to last round and it's like judges and stuff, I'd rather him just put another round on and until someone gets knocked out or someone quits. I don't class it as winning, mate, because I don't know, obviously it is winning, but inside, if I lost by points, I'd be disappointed. I'd want an extra round or an extra couple of rounds to see who actually has won.
Yeah, well, I think the styles you guys bring to the table, I mean, I'd be very surprised if it went the distance. Like, I feel like both of you guys are...
One of us are getting knocked out, 100%. One of us are getting knocked out, and it's not me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was definitely a fight I was excited for before talking to you, man, but the insight's very much compounding that. I feel like this will be a great British title fight on September 16th. And
really good fight. He's a really game lad. He's with similar styles. Both of us want to knock out. Both of us are forward fighters. I think it's just going to be fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. But I really appreciate your time, Mark, and want to be mindful of your schedule. So in saying that, is there any final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
No, not really, mate, no. I just want to say thanks for all my trainers and all my sponsors who have helped me out through this training camp. And thanks for you for wasting your time on someone like me as well.
Oh, it's great having you on. I had to get some insights ahead of this Aaron McCallum fight here. And yeah, it's looking like a nice card at BKB 34. But thanks so much, man. And
Dan Chapman is a really good boxer. That should be good. There's Reese Money. Reese Money's one of my pals. He's fighting mine, Rafael. We both live on the same estate, same town, Nottingham. So both is going for British title.
Yeah, so much depth and excitement to the card, and like you said, very consequential fights. But thanks so much for the time, man, and just, you know, until these fights go down, you have a good rest of your day, and just best of luck with the rest of the training and all.
Thank you. Much respect.